This episode of Weekly Spooky is brought to you by Babysitter Massacre, Daddy's Little Killer, available on paperback and ebook on Amazon.com. A good babysitter is hard to find, especially when they're all dead. Larkin's first night with the Babysitter's Club has her filling in for a friend that's blowing off work for a hot date. The simple little lie will have dire consequences that trigger a series of unthinkable events and spurs a killer's need for revenge. With the bodies and suspects stacking up, can Larkin unmask the Kohler slasher? Or will she become another victim of Daddy's Little Killer? From the twisted mind of Weekly Spooky writer David O'Hanlon comes the first book in the Babysitter Massacre franchise series created by me. So check it out right now. Babysitter Massacre, Daddy's Little Killer, available now on ebook or paperback at Amazon.com.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listeners in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. Henrik Kuto here, your host and narrator, and thank you for joining me yet again for another piece of Spooky on the Weekly. And we've got a really fun one tonight, one with a very memorable character that I have a feeling we're going to get to spend some more time with as the year goes on. Some more expansion in the Rob Field Strickfield universe, and I think you're going to enjoy it a lot. But I just want to say, out here in Ohio, where I'm recording this in perpetual nighttime, it is really feeling like perpetual nighttime. It is the afternoon. It's very dark outside. The automatic timer on my Christmas lights activated because it's so dark. It's dark and it's cold, and today it's snowing. And I love snow. You know why I love snow? Because, like all great things, it's beautiful and it's scary. You know, when you see a lot of snow falling, you're like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It makes me think of Christmas. And then when it keeps falling, you realize, and I'm trapped wherever I am. Snow is beautiful, but it's as isolating as it is beautiful. So enjoy this story tonight that takes place during an ice-cold blizzard. But you might find something real hot out there in the cold. And afterward, I'll chat with you guys some more. But enjoy and make sure you subscribe and tell a friend to get in on the spooky. But for now, let's get to the story. The Last Tabon by Rob Fields. It's dark, the middle of winter, and it's a fucking blizzard. I've been walking along the highway for a while now, keeping tight hold of my Reebok Pump basketball shoes. I suppose I take great joy in knowing that I'm walking around in the elements, half naked and barefoot. And I'm actually quite comfy. Also, I'm fucking soaked from all the snow. I'll have to take my clothes off and let them dry when I find a place to take shelter. Not the first blizzard I've walked through, and it won't be the last. It's about an hour before I finally see the lights of what appears to be a tavern. I turn and walk across the snowy parking lot and past several covered cars. I'm sure there'll be people inside waiting out the storm, but I'm wondering if a certain motherfucker named Richland Jillian will be inside. I open the door and I walk in. Of course this fucking place is going to be filled with men. They all look at me, some gawking that I'm dressed like a slut, while others are probably wondering how long I've been out in the blizzard like this. And no, I don't see Richland Jillian in there. Might as well have a drink before I head back out. Not a single motherfucker in the place says anything to me as I make my way to the bar and sit on a stool. The bartender slowly approaches me. Can I help you? I point to the bottle. I'll take that fire water. All of it. He just looks at me. All of it? I dig into my tattered jean shorts and pull out some money. Then I slam it on the bar. Did I fucking stutter? The bartender takes my money and hands me the fire water. No asking me for an ID, which is how I fucking like it. After popping the spout off and draining the hot cinnamon liquor, I slam the bottle down and see the looks on everybody's faces, especially the bartender's. You want anything else? He asks me. I point to the unopened bottle of Jim Beam. All of it? Slapping the bar gets the bottle put right in front of me. I open it up and this time enjoy my drink. So delicious. Then, one of those motherfuckers finally decides to approach me. I suppose I'm always asking for this kind of fucking shit since I'm a blonde who's wearing tattered denim shorts and an athletic top that's only good for covering my small titties. Like I said, I look like a total slut. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to wear normal clothes for a very long time. And now, I'm pissed when a guy who looks like he could eat me whole puts his hand on my shoulder. I neither hesitate nor look his way. Hands off, motherfucker. He clamps down on my shoulder now. Quite a mouth on you, little girl. Little young to be in here, ain't ya? I almost swung my bottle to shatter it on his head, but I stop and remember that it's Jim Beam. I take hold of his wrist and make him scream in intense pain. Then I turn around and give him a kick that sends him flying across the bar and smashing into the jukebox. Oh well, country music sucks major dick anyway. I turn around to see a few other so-called men bold enough to come at me. I have no problem picking one up and slamming him right through a table, one-handed. I grab the other one and throw him behind the bar. He hits the back and falls forward. The rest of the motherfuckers quickly back away. I turn to the bartender and grab him to me. Nearest town. He gulps when he sees my red eyes and points in the direction. Strickfield, 5 miles. I let him go. Thank you. I pick up my Jim Beam and my shoes and head back out into the blizzard. I've finished my Jim Beam by the time I cross into Strickfield. After dropping the bottle in a trash can, I walk around some more. Very few people are out in this blizzard. I do see a few cars on the streets, though. Then I see more bright lights and become excited. It's a 24-hour diner. Yeah, Denoyer's Grill's bound to have some good comfort food. I walk into the diner and get the same looks as the motherfuckers back at the bar. The college boy behind the counter gives me that look. I hold up my wet men's basketball shoes for him to see. Then I drop them on the floor and slip into them. The guy smiles. You can sit wherever's open. I park my sexy ass at the counter. Minutes later, I get my order. Wow. Now this is a fucking burger. I pick up the huge burger and take a bite. Sure wish I had more Jim Beam to wash it down. The Coke will be just fine. The counter boy keeps stealing peeks at me. Can't really blame him. Some of the other patrons in here are staring at me with contempt. Fuck them. I ask the counter boy, you don't have any booze in here, do you? He shakes his head, slowly. Unlimited soft drink refills is the best I got, miss. I slide my empty Coke glass to him. Fine. After I get my refill, I slip my shoes back off and relax some more. The counter guy is still looking at me. You're probably wondering what my fucking story is, right? Miss, please refrain from using profanity, he asked me. We've got other customers in here. I smile a little. Okay. I look at his name tag. Martin? Since you ask nicely. Also, this guy's really cute. Pretty easygoing. I think I kinda like him. What's your name? Martin asks. I flash him a sexy smile. Bella. Martin finally answers my question. Okay, Bella. I guess you could say I'm curious, yes. I mean, it ain't every day I meet, well, a hot little devil like me. I finish for him. I get it. I know I'm not dressed for that blizzard outside. Far from it. I'm cold and wet all over. But when you're me, things like blizzards and summer heat don't really bother you. You're not on any kind of drugs, are you? Martin asks. I laugh a little. I can drink all the booze I want and down 100 ecstasy tablets. None of that affects me. Not when you're not human. Okay, fuckers, here's where you pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. And Martin, instead of wondering when I'm going to take my clothes off and fuck Martin's brains out. As I'm sure you horror freaks already know, I'm not a normal girl. I mean, come on, A girl like me who looks about 17 or 18 doesn't just throw around big men like they're pillows, and I certainly wouldn't be walking around nearly naked in a fucking blizzard neither. I'm what you would call a master vampire, or maybe a derivative of one. My story begins in 1889. I came from Shore Village, which would years later become the huge megalopolis known as Shore City. I came from a family that was anything but normal. See, when you're a Taban, you're forever fucked. Your life is tied to shit such as magic and the supernatural. You spend your whole fucking life training and fighting this shit. I actually started training under Gramps when I was about 4. Every day was the fucking same shit. Up in the morning, breakfast, training, lunch, more training, dinner, nightly hunting, sleep. I was already a trained killer by the age of 6. And the bitch I am now. In other words, innocence lost. Even then, I found I was always having to compete with my older brother, Nicholas. It was always a motherfucking rivalry between him and me. Nicholas was a good 3 years older than me. Still, he would prove to be a way better fighter. I'm not afraid to admit it. Still, he was always so sure of himself that he made it a point to prove it even to me. Probably why he always called me Runt. Still, I could be a pain in his ass too. Gramps and Grams saw how vicious and clever I could be and called me Little Devil. Anyway, Gramps used our sibling rivalry to make us much better fighters. Probably too well. I couldn't tell you how many times Gramps had to break us up when we'd lose our shit and go at each other. Anyway, Nicholas got to be so good at what Gramps taught him that he was actually good at killing master vampires. Master vampires are quite powerful and are many times older than your average garden variety vampires. The older vampires get, the more powerful they become. I don't mind telling you that master vampires are harder than fuck to destroy. Still, Nicholas actually surprised Gramps out in the field by taking one down. By himself. He understood the vampire weaknesses much better than anyone in our family. The fact that Nicholas liked to face master vampires by himself didn't sit too well with Gramps. Even I voiced my concerns. Of course, Nicholas didn't want to hear me and let me know about it on no uncertain terms. It was shit like that that made me just want to yank his dick off and choke him with it. So, Gramps started spending more time with me and working with me himself, even though Nicholas continued to show his dominance out in the field. I had a gut feeling that he was asking for it. I mean, how long would his luck last? Remember that saying about how no matter how good you are, there's always going to be someone else better than you? That someone was Thornton Jillian, who was the worst master vampire the Taban family had ever faced. Jillian was thousands of years old and had slaughtered many of our family, including my own parents. The Tabons were renowned for taking down the supernatural, but Thornton Jillian would prove to be the deadliest motherfucker we'd ever faced. In fact, he was the reason why I am the last Taban. That fateful day came. Thornton Jillian attacked our property without warning. When Jillian subdued Gramps and me, Nicholas fought him and gave him one hell of a fight. It seemed that Nicholas was finally going to end him, once and for all. The problem was that Nicholas got a little too overconfident. I knew that Jillian was someone you never let up on, even for a second. Jillian attacked Nicholas the moment he saw the opening. Just like that, he tore my brother's throat right out. Nicholas still managed to cling on to life until Jillian ripped his heart right out of his chest. Then he turned on Gramps and me. He slaughtered Gramps with a simple swipe of his claws across his throat. Then he turned on me. He hurt me pretty bad, but he refused to kill me. In fact, I had to watch helplessly as he killed Grams too. He left me alive to remind me of how easy it was to decimate my entire family, even rubbing my face in it that I was the last Taban. I could have just laid there and cried like I'd been raped. Thornton Jillian had greatly underestimated me. Through my injuries and pain, I forced myself to stand. I mean, I was beyond pissed. All I could think about was how I was going to make that motherfucker wish he'd never been born. So, I worked through my pain until I was fully healed up, trained myself harder than even Gramps had ever trained me. I studied Gramps' magic books, made some potions to use in my upcoming fight. I trained and retrained, perfecting my skills. I mean, I'd been at it for months. Finally, my patience was burned. It was either Thornton Jillian or me. I went out hunting for that motherfucker. I fought and destroyed one vampire right after another. Anything to lead me to Thornton Jillian. I even met a master vampire bitch who hated Jillian as much as I did, but she swore she wouldn't tell me where he was unless I let her take me to bed. Yeah, I was that fucking desperate to find Jillian. Her information paid off, and I finally caught up to him. I challenged Jillian to one final showdown. He just laughed at me and told me to go back home, saying I should find a husband to serve and make babies with. But when he learned that I'd all but destroyed his tribe, he knew he had to take me seriously. He promised me he'd kill me, quickly. I was ready for the fucker, and this time put up one hell of a fight. I wasn't going to make the same mistakes Nicholas did in underestimating Thornton Jillian. Otherwise, the Tabon bloodline would be ended. I was the last one who stood between Jillian and his reign of terror. At one point, Jillian slashed me just below my tits and injured me. I was bleeding out fast. It was now or never. If I was dying and going to hell, I was taking this motherfucker with me. I threw the last of my potions at him, which only slowed him down. He grabbed me and told me he was going to make a new tribe, using my womb. But I had one last trick up my sleeve. I pulled one last vial of potion out of my long hair and threw it right in his face. I had to cover my own eyes as the liquid sunlight burned brightly, searing his flesh. He dropped me, giving me one last chance to strike. I kicked him backwards and into a tree. A branch which worked as a thick stake pierced his heart. This alone wouldn't stop him, though. Not a master vampire. I needed to decapitate him, too. As I pulled out my knife, I had forgotten about underestimating Jillian. He grabbed me and pulled me right onto the stake with him. He told me that I would be his wife in hell. Knowing I would die soon, I made my last attack on Jillian. He was going to find out why my grandparents called me Little Devil. I raised my knife and pressed it against his neck with all the strength I had left. I screamed like a fucking lunatic as I moved the knife like a saw and worked it through his neck, through the bone. And finally, the head fucking fell off. I slipped off the stake and fell onto my back. I was so badly hurt. I laughed as I relished my intense pain. I had finally done it. I had killed Thornton Jillian and avenged my family. Knowing that, I closed my eyes and prepared to meet up with Jillian in hell. I was only dimly aware of something dripping quickly onto my chest. When I woke up, it was morning. I felt fucking fantastic. I sat up and saw that I was still wearing the tatters of my old clothes. I saw I was completely healed up, not even so much as a fucking scar. I growled with excitement and stood up to look at the headless corpse of Thornton Jillian again. "Fuck you," I screamed at it. Holy motherfucking shit. I just couldn't help myself. I felt so incredibly powerful. The first thing I noticed was my arms and legs. I fucking had muscular definition. I mean, I really felt incredibly strong. I also realized that I could see much better than I ever had before. What the fuck had happened to me? I pulled Jillian's body off the tree and started a blazing fire that burned his remains until there was nothing but ashes. As I watched, I felt that my clothes were just too constrictive. I tore my jacket away and ripped tatters off my shirt. I kicked my shoes away and tore the legs off my pants. Anything to feel free. Half naked and moaning in satisfaction, I turned and walked away. I went back home and straight up to my bedroom to contemplate my next move. I was now the last Tabon. Everything was mine. The house, the greatly vast family fortune, all of our tools against the supernatural. And then I screamed when I saw the full-length mirror beside my dresser. What the fuck? No! I shot right up off the bed and straight to the mirror. No, this can't be. But it was. I had no reflection. No wonder I felt so powerful. Did Thornton Jillian fucking sire me? Suddenly, I realized something else. It's fucking daylight outside. How the fuck can I be a goddamn vampire? How? I moved to the window again and threw open the curtains. The daylight washed over my body, but I wasn't burning in any way. Then I opened the window and leapt out to the ground below, landing like a cat. I looked up at the bright sun. It actually felt wonderful. And then I felt the fangs growing in my mouth. I even turned my fingers into claws. How the fuck can I be out in the daylight? No fucking vampire can exist during the daytime, not even Thornton Jillian, I yelled to nobody. Then I remembered the drippings I had felt before I passed out. I remembered that I was in a lot of pain from my injuries. And I finally understood.
Fuck!
I screamed at the sky.
Why?
What happened? Thornton Jillian's fucking blood had dripped and poured from his open neck and into my chest wounds. Into my heart. Jillian's vampire blood had fucking mixed with my pure Taban blood, tainting me. But Jillian never drank from me. He never once tasted my blood. I remember that, clearly. Yet a large quantity of his blood dripped and poured into my wounds and turned me. I couldn't cast a reflection or a shadow anymore. I felt so very wild, and I was incredibly strong, and I could be in the daylight. And then I realized I was no longer breathing. Even though I destroyed Thornton Jillian, he still had the last laugh. Or did he? I realized I could still feel my heartbeat. But vampires don't have heartbeats. What the fuck kind of vampire was I? Through the many years that passed between then and now, I found that I would never age a single day. I would be 17 forever. Ah, but you would think that I'd have to drink human blood in order to keep my youth and beauty, right? Nope. In fact, as soon as I felt my stomach screaming at me, I tried using my new fangs to drink from a murderer I found in an alleyway. One bite and two swallows later, I quickly shoved the fucker away and puked my guts up. The only thing that took that fucking awful taste out of my mouth was several roast chickens from a nearby inn's open flame. I used to eat like a bird, but now I have one hell of a monstrous fucking appetite. Over the years, I toured the world and found masters who could teach me in more ways to fight. One of them even taught me ways to rein in my libido, which also grew, much like my fucking appetite. Yeah, Thornton Jillian really changed my life, didn't he? However, I am still a Taban. My family mission has not, will never, change. I still hunt creatures of the night who would prey on innocent people. Taking down monsters, witches, and other vampires is so fucking easy now since I'm way stronger and far more powerful than they are. Having Thornton Jillian's blood mixed with my own made me an instant master vampire. I guess I still have to answer that big question. Is this the ultimate fuck you to him? Or for me? Speaking of hunting supernatural scum, let's get back to the present day. While telling my story to Martin behind the counter at Denoyer's, I managed to wolf down 5 half-pound cheeseburger platters, complete with fries, lots of Coke refills, and even 2 whole strawberry rhubarb pies. Oh, and 1 large order of onion rings. Both Martin and Denoyer himself watched skinny little me put all that food away. I think Denoyer was wondering if I was going to be able to pay for everything. Not only did I pay for everything, I even gave Martin a very generous tip. And then, I turned to see the motherfucker who was sitting by the door leaving. I get up to follow him. Hey, you left your shoes on the floor, Martin calls out to me. I glance over my shoulder. I'll be back for them. I give him my sexy smile again. And you. I head back out into the blizzard. Sure enough, the motherfucker's waiting for me. You really didn't think I'd fucking find you, Jillian? Please. Richland Jillian is the younger brother of Thornton. Not quite a master vampire himself, just yet, but he's getting up there. Will you never relent, Taban? Richland yells. I raise my hands, which are now claws. I put my vampire face on. Suck my dick! Then I howl a battle cry and leap right at him. It's too fucking snowy for the people inside Denoyer's to see the two of us fight it out. Richland Jillian has been dodging and evading me for a good year now. Every fucking time I'd catch up to him, he'd always use my need to save innocence to get away. He loves to call it my greatest weakness. But no, I'm a Taban, and that's what Tabons do. But I finally got this motherfucker right where I want him. Richland is quite strong. He's definitely a bigger man than what his brother Thornton was, though nowhere near as powerful. Remember, Thornton was a master vampire. Richland claws me, but I have one hell of a healing factor. When Richland realizes he can't possibly win, he tries to escape. Nope. Don't even think it, I tell him. No innocence for you to throw in front of me this time. He roars one last roar as he tries to slash my throat with his claws, but I see it coming a mile away. I snatch his wrist and punch him right in the chest, enough for me to break through his chest cavity and seize his heart. Then I pull it out and pulp the thing right in my hands. The body falls over, and that's all she wrote. Just to make sure, however, I glare at the body and make sure it bursts into flames. I've never been able to figure out how to change form, if I can even do that. I can, however, create fog or mist, command animals and insects, and even make fire appear. When Richland Jillian is finally ashes and blowing away in the blizzard, I morph my face and hands back into human again. I move to the lake across the road from Denoyer's and wash the blood off my arms and hands. When I'm finished, I turn and head back to Denoyer's. I do have to reclaim my shoes, and a certain counter guy. When I come back in, I see some nerdy librarian bitch talking to Martin. They both turn to look at me. "Hey, you came back!" Martin exclaims. "Am I interrupting something here?" I ask. Martin shakes his head. "Not at all. I'm about done here, and my little sister came by to get me. This is Einstein. Her real name is Aileen." I look at the librarian. "Ah, little sister. Of course you are. Wow, were you really hanging around outside dressed like that?" Einstein asks in amazement. "Still a free country, right?" I reply. Then Denoyer calls out from behind the counter. "Martin, Sheila's here now. She'll relieve you shortly. Get home safe now." Martin smiles and looks at me. "Still wanna come home with me?" I give him my sexiest smile again. Martin's sound asleep as I slip out of bed and put my tatters back on. I pick up my shoes and quietly slip out of the bedroom. Martin definitely satisfied me. Now it's time to get the fuck out of Strickfield and move on to another town. Another adventure. Another malevolent motherfucker to destroy. "Now you weren't thinking of just leaving my brother, were you, Bella?" a familiar voice calls out as I reach the front door. The lights turn on, revealing the librarian, Martin's little sister, Aileen Donnerly. Einstein. "What the fuck were you doing? Waiting up for me?" I snap. "I needed to get laid. I liked your brother. We both got what we wanted. No commitments. I'm gone." Einstein gets right to the point. "My brother doesn't just take anyone to bed. You must have really been special to him. I'm not going to let you hurt him like that." I roll my eyes. "What do you want from me, Einstein? To wear his fucking ring?" Einstein folds her arms in front of her. "I want for you to stop running and settle down here. I want for you to be good for Martin." She raises her eyebrow. "I think we could even be great friends, you and me." I laugh now. "What motherfucking planet are you from? I don't live in Strickfield. I don't even fucking belong here. I don't belong anywhere, really." "You're a vampire, right?" "Wow. Subtle, ain't she?" Before I can ask how she knows, she points to a nearby mirror. "Okay, so?" I roll my eyes again. "I didn't kill Martin, okay? I don't even drink blood. Nasty fucking shit." "Oh, I know you didn't," Einstein says. "But my big brother's really into you. You're staying, Bella. And on Monday morning, you're coming to school with me." Before I can tell her to go fuck herself, she quickly unfolds her arms and raises her finger. "You walk in the daylight, right? So it's settled. You're coming to school with me on Monday." She laughs a little. Now it's my turn to fold my arms in front of me. "What makes you so goddamn sure that I'm coming to school with you?" I drop my arms. "Please, Einie, fucking enlighten me." She gives me a cute little smile. No, not the kind that says she's got me right where she wants me. It's the kind of cute little smile that belongs to a cute little face like hers. Because I believe the girls who were on the cheerleading squad at Strickfield High School are also vampires. Maybe they're not like you, but they are vampires, possibly all six of them. I raise my finger. Let me stop you right there, Einie. As far as I know, I'm the only one who can walk in the daylight. How the fuck can these so-called vampire twats walk the halls and attend classes? Hello? Sunlight comes in through pretty much every fucking classroom window at a school. Einstein shakes her head. Oh, I don't believe they're like you, Bella, but they must be doing something to be able to walk around during the daylight, and I don't think they're wearing sunblock. I nod in agreement. There are very few ways vamps can move around during the daylight, but nothing they can do on their own. They need outside sources, if you will, and damn sure not fucking sunblock. And Einstein fucking smiles. The little bitch knows she's got my attention. I'll give you some of my clothes and shoes. I think we're the same size. I glare at her now. If you're fucking lying to me about this, Einie, I'm going to take you and offer you as a free meal to other vamps. But I can tell she's not lying. I just don't want to stay here in this fucking village is all. Fine. I'll go to school with you on Monday morning. Fuck! Einstein smiles. That means you're also spending the rest of the weekend with us. Guess you better head back upstairs then. Bells. Good night. I give her a dirty look and raise my middle finger before I turn and head back upstairs. Martin's awake when I enter his room again. Yeah, he knows I was about to leave him sad and lonely. I need to fix this. Fast. I get naked again, climb back into bed, and we screw some more. Might as well occupy my time since I don't really sleep, and Monday is several hours away yet. Oh, my friends, I have a feeling the young little devil Tabon will be joining us again very soon on the show, and I can't wait for us to find out what's going to happen with these vampire cheerleaders, but we will have to wait. Good things come to those who wait, and good things come to those who subscribe to Weekly Spooky and listen every single week. Also, very good things happen to those who back us on Patreon. You can go to weeklyspooky.com and find information about our Patreon, about the books we're releasing. You can send me an email, and we do accept story submissions. So send me an email. Say, hey, tell me you're enjoying the show. Tell me what you'd like us to do, what stories you'd like us to cover. I'd love to hear from you, but also I want to say a huge thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters. These are folks who pay a little extra for a shout out, and I am so thankful to them. Karen Wiemet, Jeff and George Hilton, Rob Fields, Kevin Fry, and Craig Cohen. Thank you guys so much for helping support the show. And please, if you've been listening for weeks upon weeks or months upon months or even for over a year since we've been on the air, please do consider helping us out on Patreon. We have over 70 backers and growing, and it helps me make the time to make the show and make it as high quality as possible. And so thank you guys, and thank you so much for the folks who have been sticking it out with us through this, I don't know if you guys have heard, this global pandemic thing. Thank you so much, and I hope we've been able to give you a little escape every single week from the ways of the world. So anyway, my friends, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go pet my dogs, and I'm working on an audiobook version of Babysitter Massacre, Daddy's Little Killer, which is available right now on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com. Just search Babysitter Massacre, Daddy's Little Killer, written by David O'Hanlon, based on the movie series I created. I think you might like it. But anyway, my friends, I'm out of here till next time. So subscribe, send me an email, yada yada, my friends, and I will talk at you later.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.